you in the ministry of the Word of God. The last Sunday night I was with you, I mentioned that when we got saved, God enrolled us with or without our consent into the University of Faith. The dean of that university is Abraham. And tonight I want to finish the message I started about a month ago. So those of you who were here a month ago when I spoke on how to war by faith, we're going to start with a test tonight. How would you like that? Well, I'm only kidding you, but I'm going to review for a few moments. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. In chapter 14 that we examined last time, we have the first war of Scripture. And we find Abraham victorious in the war. Chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed on the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the University of Faith. We thank you that you have provided for us an armor, and that shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We pray thee tonight that thou wilt enable us to behold thy grace, thy righteousness, thy covenant that you make with your people, and bring them into the blessings of it in righteousness. We give thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. When we examined chapter 14, we saw that faith gives you victory over people. Abram entered the first recorded war of Scripture because his brother Lot was taken captive. And without giving all the details of chapter 14, was it worthwhile for Abram to restore his brother Lot? Without knowing it, Abram was fulfilling Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. Why was Lot in Sodom? Who put Lot in Sodom? Lot did. And he got entangled with the affairs of this life. And it was faithful Uncle Abram who went down and delivered him in this war. Victory over people. Was it worthwhile for Abram to deliver Lot? I think it was. You see, down the line, there's going to be a Moabite girl who's going to be born, a descendant of Lot, who's going to marry a wealthy man in Israel by the name of Boaz, who's going to be one of the progenitors in the line of our blessed Lord. Was it worth it? It was. Victory over people. But then there's a second victory. Victory over things. And this is a far more insidious thing, as we noted a few weeks ago. The king of Sodom, Abram, won the war. The spoils should go to Abram. The king of Sodom said, give me. Give me the persons. You can have all the things of Sodom. You can have all the spoils. Abram said, I don't even want to take as much as a shoelace from you. I'm afraid it would hinder my walk with the Lord. But Abram met someone else before he met the king of Sodom. He met the king of Salem, Melchizedek, who blessed him in the name of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And as we noted last time, when once you know the possessor of heaven and earth, you can open your hand and be the richer for it. This is our God. Victory over people. Victory over things. The Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. We're rushing today to accumulate things. Are we determining our priorities? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Tonight, in Genesis chapter 15, we want to note another victory. Victory over people, victory over things. In Genesis 15, it's victory over feelings. You see, this whole chapter, Genesis chapter 15, is a chapter that's filled with emotions. Here you have fear. Later in the chapter, you have anxiety. And then a horror of great darkness. All these things come before us in chapter 15. Now, people go to extremes when it comes to emotions. Some people try to suppress their feelings. They stiffen their back. They stiffen their lip. And they act like a robot. I don't have any feelings toward this. And then there are other people on the other end of the extreme who are always falling apart. They go to pieces over everything. And a lot of people are either in one extreme or the other. Now the Lord wants us, by the grace of God, to harness our feelings. Feelings and emotions are important. And you cannot do anything creative without feelings. It takes feeling to play a piano well. I play it. I drum it. But I don't play it well. It takes feelings to paint a picture. It takes feelings to write a sermon. And it takes feelings to preach one. Feelings. Feeling has to be there. There has to be emotions. Now look at Abram. There are lots of feelings in this chapter. How does God meet them? Well, there's a feeling, first of all, of fear. God comes to Abram after these things, after the king of Sodom, after meeting with Melchizedek and refusing the goods of Sodom. God says to Abram, fear not. Why? Why was Abram afraid? Suppose those kings come back after him again. What's going to hinder them from coming back? He let them go and he gave them all the goods. What if they come back? Can you imagine the devil coming to him and saying, you dumbbell, you? Look at how rich you could be. And you wouldn't take a cent from the king of Sodom. Do you ever have second thoughts? Beware of second thoughts. Especially if your first thought was honoring to the Lord. And it was according to the word of God. Beware of second thoughts. When once you've made a right moral decision, watch second thoughts. After these things, the Lord came unto Abram and said, fear not, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Don't reverse things. Don't reverse things. Keep going. See, Abram is afraid. And God comes and says, Abram, don't be afraid. This is a normal reaction. Victory over feelings. Why not? God says, I am. Did you notice that? I am thy shield. I am thine exceeding great reward. Is that enough? Can you have anything more than this? No. I remember driving it. Oh, this goes back almost 40 years. I was speaking in Johnstown, Pennsylvania on New Year's Eve. And a young fellow who had lost his mother was going with me because there were There's a family out there that had three beautiful girls, and he wanted to meet one of them. But he was getting mixed up with the charismatic movement. And riding out the Pennsylvania Turnpike, he made a statement to me. He said, "Phil, and now this sounds awful good, and you hear this all the time." He said, "Phil, I want everything that God has for me." "Ooh," I said, "that's wonderful." And I switched on the light in the car. I said, "I want you to open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He did. I said, "Read it to me." It says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him are you complete." I said to him, "Dick, if you have Christ, you have everything you need. And as a believer, don't settle for anything less. And don't be foolish enough to try for anything more." God says to Abram, "I am." In the first commandment, in Exodus chapter 20, I know you all know the Ten Commandments. Maybe we ought to quote the first one together. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord thy God." Oh, think of that. "Who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am Jehovah." That's what the words "I am" mean. It was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. I am. I am Jehovah. That's the redemptive name of God in the Word of God. I am Jehovah, thy Elohim, thy strong one. I redeemed you from the land of Egypt. Don't put anybody else before me. I'm Jehovah. I am. Think of those words, "I am." If you let your mind go back, the Lord awoke me a few nights ago, and I awoke thinking of those words, "I am." And I thought as back as far as I possibly could. Your mind will reel into infinity. And God says, "I'm here. I am." He ever was. I can't fathom that. I thought of the present. With all its trials, God says, "I am. I'm here." And I let my mind run into the future until I couldn't think anymore. And God says, "I'm still here. I am. I am the God who is. I am the God who was. I am the God who ever will be, and any other God cannot be sovereign, but I am. Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy great reward. Abram, don't worry about yesterday. I am. Abram, don't worry about the future. I am. Abram, live in the present. I am your shield. That's protection. I am thy exceeding great reward. That's provision. Now, if the kings return, don't worry. I'm your reward. I'm your protection." Now, that's what Matthew 6:33 is all about. You know, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." I am, God says. Now, when you find yourself getting afraid, remember what God says. I'm your protection, and I am your provision. Abram said something to him, Lord, I've been waiting a long time for a son. If you're my protection and my exceeding great reward, and you made promises to me, you told me that in me, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. In me, there's going to be salvation for the world. How's it going to happen? I don't even have a son. God's answer to Abram, he said, look toward heaven. Abram, count the stars. You know, it was dark. You can't see the stars in daytime. You know, it's in the dark times, in the dark hours, that we were able to see the brilliance of God's heaven. Isn't it precious the way the Lord's expanding the horizons of Abraham as you go through the book of Genesis? Remember chapter 13. There's a fight. There's a fight between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram. And Abram said to Lot, Lot, let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. Boy, doesn't that sound good? I wish I could hear God's people say that one to another. Let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. And Abram looked at Lot and he said, Lot, here's the land. You choose what you'd like. And whatever you don't want, I'll take. Have your choice. And Lot chose the best. It looked the best. It looked like the land of Egypt. He chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, the well-watered plains of Jordan. And after that, God came to Abram and he said, Abram, look to the north, look to the east, look to the south, look to the west. It's all yours. Now, Abram, he says, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. He said, look to the heavens. Can you count the stars? So shall thy seed be. Oh, isn't it great? Are you able to number them? Here is Abram anxious. Here is Abram impatient. And what does God say? I will. I will. Victory over feelings. Are you afraid? God's presence says, I am. Are you impatient? God says, I will. In verse 8, Abram said, Abram makes a statement. And he said, Lord, God, whereby shall I know? I'd like some confirmation in this. Now, Abram is not in unbelief in this statement. He simply wants to know the certainty of it all. And this is when God takes the initiative in a real way. And we have in Genesis 15 the great watershed of the Old Testament. If you miss Genesis 15, now Genesis 3:15 is very important, where God makes a promise concerning the seed of the woman. But in Genesis 15, he gives to Abram that great Abrahamic covenant that he's spoken of in such a blessed word in Galatians chapter 3 and in Galatians chapter 4. concerning the promise that belongs to God's elect, the promise he made to Christ there under the stars in Genesis chapter 15. And if you never read Galatians chapter 3 without thinking of this, oh, you miss a lot. And if you read this without reading Galatians 3, you miss a lot too. For when you get down to verse 16, that's a 3:16 of the Bible. You know, 3:16s of the Bible are great importance. It says, and he saith not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one. It's not plural. Not, the word seed is both singular and plural. But the Spirit of God makes, he vouches safe to us. He's speaking in the singular. That seed of Abraham is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. And there in Genesis chapter 15, when he says, Abram, count the stars. You're asking for a son. Your seed is going to be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And he's speaking of whom? Christ. And when you get to the last verse of Galatians chapter 3, we read this. And if ye be Christ's, are you his tonight? We sing a hymn back home, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. And then the chorus says, I am his, and he is mine. Galatians 3, the last verse says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. We began the Lord's Supper tonight, singing that hymn, behold what love, what boundless love the Father hath bestowed on sinners lost, that we should be now called the sons of God. And you want to go one step further. I'm afraid I'm not getting over this, but go one step further with me. When you get to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, the scripture says that Christ, when he came, he took not the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That night under the stars, my name was registered in the Abrahamic covenant of grace. Because Abram had feeling. And he said, Lord, how can I know? And God says, just look up. Look up and behold the stars. You know, God made a covenant. And the way they made a covenant, they took animals, cut them in half. And then they walked between the pieces of the that were cut and laid out. Abram obeyed God and he prepared the animals, but he never walked through those pieces. He never did. You see, this is how they made a covenant in those days. Why didn't he walk through them? Because that covenant of grace does not depend upon Abram, but it depends upon God. In answer to your question, Abram, this isn't something that depends upon something you do. It depends upon something that I'm going to do. And therefore, we can read in John 6, verse 37, All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of them which thou hast given me I should lose 40%. No, I should lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day. This is the will of God. The covenant doesn't depend upon Abram. The covenant depends upon God. This is something I'm going to do. When you get the feeling of uncertainty, now I've been there, and often you get that feeling after you've made a decision. And a lot of times you get that feeling after you've won a victory. After you've burned a bridge behind you. How do I know for certain that I didn't make a mistake? You see, and then when you read the word, God comes along and he says, this is my covenant. This is my covenant I have given. I can take these three phrases and live on them. God's presence, I am. God's promise, I will. God's covenant, I have. Get it. You see, God's presence, I am. God's promise, I will. God's covenant, I have. Why do I read the Bible? Why do you read it? You see, to find out what God has already given me. That's why I read it. To find out what he's already given me. You see, the Christian life is not one of accumulation. It's one of appropriation. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now when I start doing what we sing about, count your blessings, it's one of accumulation. No, it's one of appropriation. Have I appropriated the blessings that have been bought for me and have been given to me in Christ? Let me quote Colossians 2 verse 9 again. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him are you complete. Can you add anything to that? Can you improve upon that? No, you can't. We belong, beloved, to the possessor of heaven and earth. And because we belong to the possessor of heaven and earth, we can take a towel and water and wash the feet of our brethren. As our Lord did in John 13. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Now, verse 6 of Genesis 15 is so important. It's spoken of three times in the New Testament. And Larry spoke of it at the Lord's Supper tonight. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. This verse appears in the book of Romans. It appears in the Epistle of James, and it appears in the Epistle to the Galatians. And each time, emphasis is put on another portion of that verse. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In Galatians, the emphasis is on the word believed. Abraham believed God. In Romans, the emphasis is on faith and the word counted. It was counted unto him for righteousness. That's the basis of Romans chapter 4. And then when you get to the epistle of James, the emphasis there is on righteousness. The righteousness that was imputed to us has become part of us, and it is manifested in our daily walk. What did that verse really say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham simply put his amen to what God said. Lord, I believe. Amen. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Very quickly now, we as believers are told to take the shield of faith, whereby we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I don't know what your presuppositions are. I don't know what your philosophy is, but Satan can use them. He's a better arguer than you are, and he's smarter than you are, and he's smarter than me. He knows me better than I do. But there's something Satan can't defeat. He can't defeat my faith. Because my faith is in him who says, I am. My faith is in him who says, I will. It, my faith is in him who says, I have. Victory over feelings. Every day, we need to have victory over people. Every day. How can I have it? By faith. That's how Abram won, and that's how we win. Every day, I need victory over things. How can I have victory? By faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Every day, I need to have victory over feelings and recognize that God says, I'm all that you need. We war by faith. When by faith we just trust God's word and yield to God's promise, he gives us the victory. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Think of that word overcometh for a moment. It's not, faith not only wins the battle, faith overcomes. It not only wins the battle, it overcomes. Now it's possible to win the battle and come back so battered that you wish you would have never gone into the war. But it's not so with faith. Abram, in his spiritual life, his character was enriched because he won the battle. He had the victory over feelings by faith. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May God give us this victory and enable us to live in the enjoyment of it. for his name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. We pray thee, our God and Father, that thou wilt take this word and bless it to every heart. We thank you for this great illustration of victory over people, over things, and over feelings. Grant our God that our lives will manifest that righteousness that you have imputed to us, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, come on. You don't want me to leave it to you.
You won't leave it?
No, you know better. I can't even sing.
Number 56, you please. That's a lovely hymn. We'll sing the first, second, and the fourth, and then we'll be dismissed. Number 56.
Locked with everlasting love, I'll let my grace that love to hold. A spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue, Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs or flow, clouds with deeper pity shine. A sense we know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. A sense I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. His forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine. But while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine.